The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
It's been a great day already. I mean, I came in this morning and someone saw me actually wearing the button down, looking kind of nice, I know, and said, "Oh, you must be preaching today." And that's actually, no, this is actually my wedding attire. I already did a wedding this morning at 9:30. And so, yeah, it's pretty sweet. Met over in the park. Yeah, so by the way, if you want me to have a suit and tie for your wedding, you got to put that in the contract ahead of time. And the earrings stay no matter what. So that's just the way I roll. So we met over in a park up on 32nd and Center. And a couple, Mike and Lori, a couple from my missional community, such a cool couple, and I'm so excited, and they're here with us worshiping now, so let's give them a round of applause. They just got married this morning. So they're honeymooners right here this morning, Coram Deo, and they just got an awesome story. Mike and Lori have lived a lot of life and have had a lot of pain and brokenness as a part of their past. They've been alcoholics, drug addicts, and they've come to Jesus, and they've experienced freedom, and they've cleaned their lives up, and they came together this morning and covenanted before God and to each other to be married and to live life for Jesus and to serve Him from this point on. And so, you know, it's just been an awesome day already. So I don't know how this is going to go now, because I'm still kind of coming off that. I'm a new dad, by the way. Thank you. There's lots to cheer about this morning. Yeah, this is my first time preaching since I had Cohen 5 weeks ago. I didn't have him. My wife had him, but he's my kid, too. I was getting ready this morning, and my wife and my mom was here. Grandma's taking care of him, and they're just cooing over him and telling him he's the greatest thing in the world. And I'm sitting here getting in Romans, getting ready to preach. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, Cohen, you're a depraved sinner. You need to repent and turn to Jesus. He yawned and went back to his bottle. So I'm hoping this goes a little bit better than it did with him. So I'm going to stop and pray and ask for the Spirit to show up. Father God, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the redemption that we've seen just in people's lives here in this church. I thank you for what you've done in Mike and Lori. I pray for their marriage. Pray that you would bless them. Just love those guys so much and so excited for them today. I pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would just be on me, that you would anoint me to proclaim your word, and that I would glorify you, Jesus. Amen. 1 John 4 verses 9 and 10 say this: "In this, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." All right, the gospel is God loving us enough to send Jesus to die on the cross and to become the propitiation for our sins. And what that word propitiation means is that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. That Jesus and His death on the cross met God's need for justice. Love and the gospel are inclusive of each other. See, you can't have the gospel without love. That's the essence of the gospel, is that Jesus loved us. And you can't have love in its purest form without the gospel. Jesus loves us, and when that love is fully realized and experienced, it's what drives us outward to love others. John 15, 12 through 14 says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." All right, so James just a minute ago read Romans 12, 9 through 13, which is where we're going to be camping out today. And love is the theme of that passage. And so today, as we look more specifically at verses 11 and 12, I want you to just have in your minds that love is the backdrop of those verses. So we'll look through those verses, and then we're going to take those verses and look through them as a lens as we look at Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 in way of application this morning. So that's where we're going. All right, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. Don't have PowerPoint this morning. I'm sorry, so please just follow with me in your Bible. "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." And so my main theme or my big idea this morning is live zealous and passionately for Jesus. We have two statements here telling us to serve the Lord. It's first stated as a negative, don't be slothful, be zealous, serve the Lord. And then it's stated more positively, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So I want to unpack those words a little bit. I don't usually throw, you know, Greek around and that kind of stuff, and I won't actually give you the Greek words, but I did some work just to unpack this verse a little bit more so I could get a better understanding of it. And the Greek word for zeal is actually translated as speed. And so the idea is to be active. And so where it's stated, don't be slothful, have zeal, be zealous. It's active, do it with speed and momentum, and then ultimately serve the Lord. So with speed, with urgency, serve the Lord. And then fervent, the word is actually to make hot or boil. And sometimes with a quick reading of this text, you can think that it's talking about the Holy Spirit here, and I don't think that's what it's actually getting at. If you notice, it's at least in the ESV translation I'm using this morning, it's a small case or lowercase s. For spirit. So it's talking about your spirit. So be passionate in your spirit. Serve the Lord. So feel, have emotion, be passionate for the Lord. John Piper suggests that we have a natural tendency as a Christian towards one of these words versus the other. So either you tend to be zealous and to be active and to work hard, that's your natural bent, or you tend to be fervent. You feel you are a person with great emotion, you're passionate. And so I wanted to kind of look at both those contrasts this morning and help you maybe determine where you're at within that. If you tend to be fervent, you probably, as opposed to zealous and hardworking, you tend more towards passion and emotion. You're a person who probably loves Jesus a lot. You really feel excited about Jesus. And you probably go, you know, you probably go to 5 church services a week because you want to sing and worship, and you just can't wait to just praise. And you're one of those people who's super excitable, you know. You're like, "How you doing? Oh, Jesus is good! Go, Jesus, go! I love God!" And you're just happy, and you're bubbly, and you're just excited, and I ask you how it's going, and you're just like, "Oh, God is so awesome! He's good!" And then I say, "Okay, that's great. How's that being lived out, in your life?" "Oh, it's being lived out great. I mean, when I'm driving in my car, I turn up the stereo, and I love to sing, and I love to praise Jesus. I just love to praise Jesus. You want to go praise Jesus?" You know who I'm talking about. You all know someone like that. They're excited. The problem is, when I say, No, I'm talking about how's that being lived out towards others in your relationships? How is that passion finding its way into people's lives? And you kind of look and you're like, well, that's kind of hard. I love Jesus and stuff, but my friends, they don't really love Jesus so much. And so they're kind of annoyed by me and they're kind of turned off. But that's okay because I love Jesus. I love to worship. I had this friend last week that asked me to go down and walk in a cancer rally and stuff. And I told him no. I had to go to worship service to praise Jesus. You see the problem with that? You see what that's lacking? It's not outward. It's emotional. It's unbalanced. And what I've seen in these kind of people is that they have a tendency to burn out. See, as life gets hard, as things eventually, you can only run on emotion, pure emotion for so long, right? If there's no substance behind it, nothing backing it, eventually life hits you. And it's hard. And often these people tend to not have great theology because they don't actually do the work because they're just about the emotion of it. So they don't actually get in their Bibles. They don't actually read. Then when tribulation and circumstances hit them, they don't have the theology to back it up. They don't know that they can go to Scripture and find where God promises that He is sovereign and He is faithful. And that tribulation is part of our sanctification and part of our growth. And so that's the weakness. And so if you're a person who tends to be fervent, what you need to do in order to bring balance is to also be zealous. You need to be active. You need to work hard. You need to come to Sunday night school of theology and learn about your Bible. You need to come down to Mosaic and serve. You need to love people. You need to get outwardly focused on what their needs. Come down off the emotion long enough to actually listen and hear what's going on in their life. So the answer is you need to do some work. Now on the other side, zealous people, first off, they have issues because they sometimes are judgmental of people with passion, and that's wrong. But they also, they work hard. I mean, those are the people that every time we ask for something, they're the first one to volunteer. And they love to serve, but often for the wrong reasons. They're, in a sense, trying to earn their salvation. They're trying to work hard and do good works so that they can become right with God. And they lack passion. They lack a relationship with Jesus. This is me. I tend to be on the zealous end. I'm a farm boy. I grew up on a farm. I learned how to work hard. And so I tend to take that into just all of my life. And so when it comes to church and living out spiritually, I try to just do work there too. And if I work hard, I can have right standing with God, which is wrong. And what happens is I serve and I serve and I burn out. And so here's how I've tried to fix that problem. Is I go out to St. Benedict's. It's a monastery out in Schuyler, Nebraska, about an hour away. And so because I tend to just always go and never stop and actually be fervent, actually be passionate about Jesus, actually come before Him and just worship, I try and schedule one day a month at least to get out there to the monastery and just spend the day in prayer. Just spend the day in worship. I think there's also probably a third category here, and that's all you sitting there who didn't identify with either one of these categories, and you're like, oh yeah, the fervent people, yeah, them happy freaks. And you just kind of sit back and you're judging them. Then the zealous people, you're like, oh yeah, I know those people. They're always wanting me to do stuff, and they just don't get that. Hey, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And I just kind of live my faith out, you know, my way. And these are the same people. They love the name of our church. Coram Deo. to live before the face of God. And so they're like, yeah, just all of life's before God. I actually get this. I get this better than most. You know, I just go to work and that's cool because that's before God. And so that's worship. And so that's all good. And you start asking these people, well, how's your relationships going at work? How are you, you know, are people coming to Jesus? Are they experiencing the gospel because of your presence? And the response is usually something like, well, no, I don't really talk about it that much. I just wait for them to look at me, you know, and just see it in my life. And I'm like, so what you're telling me is you don't talk about Jesus. You just wait for them to see it, but you don't do anything and you're not a person who's passionate. Okay. So I rest my case. Like, it just doesn't add up. Like, how are they going to see Jesus? You don't talk about it or do anything. All right? So you need to repent. The Greek word here for serve is actually, there's a stronger word here that I think helps us understand it. It's the same word that we found in Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Enslaved is the same word as serve in Romans 12. And so when it says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Another way you could say that is put yourself in bondage to Jesus. Right? It's trading what owns you. It's trading what you're in bondage to. When we live in the flesh, we're in bondage to sin. We're in bondage to the flesh. And so when we come to Jesus and follow Jesus, what we're saying is we're going to place ourselves now under Him and under His authority. And so yes, we'll serve Him, but it's an even stronger meaning than that. It's that we will actually be slaves to Jesus. And we will be zealous and we will be passionate within that. I hope to have a picture up here on the PowerPoint this morning, but it didn't quite work out. I was trying to think of a word picture to just help grasp this concept and what our lives should look like as we live zealous and passionately in service to Jesus. And so I want you to get this image in your mind. You need to serve Jesus like your hair is on fire. That's right. If your hair is on fire, you are going to have speed and you are going to be passionate and you're going to have a response. Right? If your hair starts on fire, you're going to be going crazy, running around here trying to find water, something to put it out, and you're going to be passionate as you do it. I guarantee it. And so that's what I want you to think about when you think about living zealous and passionate for Jesus. You should live in such a way that it requires a response. Your life should be lived in such a way that it requires a response from other people. And I'm not talking about the super arrogant, hellfire and brimstone, confrontational, you're going to hell kind of Christian. That's not the response we're going for. Okay? Remember, the backdrop, the theme of this passage is love. And so you should be loving people in such a way that they take notice. You should be serving people so well that they take notice, and it requires a response. They have to know why. They have to know what's driving that kind of living. Let's move on to verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And I would argue that these are attributes of a person living zealous and passionately in service for Jesus. Paul is applying Romans 8, the theology of Romans 8, here practically. And so a zealous and passionate person rejoices in hope. We saw in Romans 8 that the creation groans, and we groan with it, because we look around in our world and we see that something has gone wrong, that life is not as it should be, that there's brokenness and there's pain, and we feel that in ourselves and we see that in the world. And yet we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in hope because we've already seen what God and Jesus has done in our lives, and the restoration that has taken place in our lives, and the redemption that is at work in us. We see ourselves changing. We feel this joy as our lives are transformed into Christ's image. But we have hope in the future. We have hope because we know that it hasn't been made complete yet. That restoration and redemption of this world and even of our lives has not seen its fulfillment yet. And so a person who is living zealous and passionately for Jesus is rejoicing, and they have great joy in the hope of the redemption that is yet to come, as Jesus brings the kingdom in its fulfillment. A zealous and passionate person is able to persevere in tribulation, so we may be glorified with Him, is what Romans 8 says. We rejoice in hope because we wait. We know that as we go through tribulation, as we go through hard times, we will come out on the other end. We will come out and we will be glorified. That God is using those things to sanctify us. That He's using those things to grow us. A zealous and passionate person knows you must be constant in prayer to follow Jesus. You cannot do any of this. You cannot be zealous. You cannot be passionate. You definitely cannot serve Jesus if you are not grounded in prayer. Pastor George from Zambia was here a couple weeks ago, and he preached on prayer, and he made this one statement that I thought was so good. We cannot be an effective missional people if we have not interacted with the glory of God. See, prayer is where we come and we commune with Jesus. Pastor George also talked about the fact that God doesn't actually need us. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't actually need us to pray. So why pray? Because He chooses to use our prayers. Prayer is actually how we come and we align our hearts with God. Prayer is how we fuel ourselves. You will experience His love, which causes you to fall in love with Him as you come in prayer. And if you haven't experienced His love, you're not going to be able to serve. You're not going to be able to sustain yourself in service. You have to experience the gospel. And I'm not talking about the facts of the gospel. So many of you here this morning, you know the gospel. If I ask you, you'll explain it to me. You'll tell me about Jesus dying on the cross and what it means to trust in Him and live for Him. But the problem is, you haven't actually experienced the gospel. The gospel hasn't actually touched you at the deepest places. And so you haven't really felt loved unconditionally. And you're still trying to earn your love rather than freely receiving it from Jesus. But as you receive that love, it's amazing. It's transforming. I'm looking across and I see different ones of you just grinning because I've walked some of this journey with you. And I've seen you go from a life of not experiencing Christ's love to experiencing it. And it's incredible. And I've seen the change in you. And so I want you to know, for those of you sitting here who haven't felt this, who maybe have not yet come to Christ, that He's extending that invitation, that you can come and experience the gospel and the redemption that awaits for you. All right, turn with me to Romans 13, 11 through 14. And we're going to take Romans 12, 11 and 12, the verses that we just got done talking about. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And now we're going to read those verses into this passage and help those verses give us understanding into Romans 13, 11 through 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So let's now answer the question, how do you become a zealous and passionate servant of Jesus? And I think Romans 13 gives us some direction here, gives us some light. The first thing you do is you wake up. You decide to get out of bed. All right, God's created us with a will. And it's the Spirit who calls us. It's the Spirit that starts moving in our lives and convicting us. But God's created us to actually respond to that. And He's given us a will to actually step out and make decisions to pursue Him. And so those things work together. There's mystery within that. But you have to make a decision to wake up and be zealous and passionate and serve Jesus. All right, I'm going to pick on some people now. Last year we had a men's retreat, and one of the challenges that we gave a lot of the guys, we had a lot of single guys on the trip, so you guys are there, you'll remember this. So we got a rule for single guys, and I guess this can go to you ladies as well, for single people. You're not busy. Don't tell us you're busy. You're not busy. You'll know busy when you get married, and then you have a kid, and he's crying in the middle of the night, and you gotta be up with him and give him a bottle and take care of him and serve your wife. And then you gotta mow the lawn and you gotta go to work and you gotta meet with people. And there's a whole bunch of people in the room right now that are laughing at me because they're like, JD, you don't know nothing about busy. You got one kid. Wait till you have three and four and then you're gonna know busy. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't give me the excuse that you're busy. You're not busy. Like, your priorities might be out of whack. You might feel busy. Thank you. Be zealous and passionate about Jesus, right? Like, some of you guys got a lot of time for PlayStation, right? I mean, you're busy, but that's because you're putting in 20 solid hours a week on PlayStation. I remember this one guy I went to school with. Man, he quit. I don't know if he got injured first or whatever, but he quit the football team. And eventually, for football players, like, a lot of times the only reason you go to class is so you can play football. So that is true for me. If you take away football, forget class, because what's the point? And so this guy, he is so funny. He just decided, okay, I'm just going to flunk out this semester, but I'm going to stay at college and do nothing till the end of the semester. So he would actually stay in bed all day. His roommates would bring him food from the cafeteria. And I think by the end of the semester, he was getting bed sores because he was, like, playing video games so much. But his thumbs, they were in shape. His thumbs were in shape. So reorient your lives. If you're going to be a zealous, passionate follower of Jesus, Jesus is the point, people. You gotta go for Jesus. And so, change your priorities, change the things in your life. If you know that there's nothing good on cable and you have 500 channels, my question is, how do you know that? Yeah, you see where I'm going. If you sleep in with the best of them, Okay, there's a problem there. Wake up. Get out of bed. Proverbs says this in several places. This is 6, 9 through 11. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Okay. Following Jesus is about doing some stuff. It's about working. Not ultimately. I'm going to try and clear some stuff up here. Because when I start talking like this, people start questioning me. They're like, well, it sounds like you're talking about works righteousness, right? And that we have to do stuff to be saved. And you're talking about, like, there's two tiers of Christians. Like, those who come to Christ and those who actually follow Christ passionately. No, listen, people. There's only one tier of Christian. All I see in the Bible is disciple. Alright? So that's what I'm calling you to. I'm not calling you to different levels. I'm saying, no, be a disciple. Follow Jesus with everything. Make that the only thing. And I'm not saying that works is what saves you. No. Grace and faith in Jesus Christ alone is what saves you. But if you've really experienced that, you will live with zealous and passion for Jesus Christ. There's another place in Proverbs where it uses the word sluggard as well. And the Hebrew is a little bit different here. And what it says is, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a college student on his bed. So the Hebrew for sluggard is actually college student. We got a lot of students here. Here's what I'm going to say to you guys. Beat up on you a little bit. Bear with me. Here's the problem with college students. You don't have jobs yet, so you're just going to class. You got lots of time. Some of you guys are the ones playing the video games. And, like, you could be a real drain on a church. Because you just email the pastors and you ask to sit down with us and have coffee because you have just some super big life issues that you need to talk through. And so we get with you and then you're like, so I want to know if I can date this girl. I want to know if, is it alright to hold hands or is that like, where's the Bible stand on that? Are you serious? Is that really your life issue? Like, that's the big thing? Alright, so we love you guys. We're glad you're in our church, but here's what I want to say to college students, alright? Get in a missional community, commit to community, commit to our church, and start serving. Start serving. Be a blessing to us. Grow. Be passionate about Jesus. Don't wait. I mean, we want you here. We want you to decide to follow Jesus fervently and passionately now. Don't wait for 4 years and be like, well, no, this is college. This is the time where I have fun and I'm a Christian, so I'll still come to church. But then that's it. After that, you know, I'm gonna enjoy life for the next 4 years. This is my time. No. Wake up. Wake up. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first realized. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And so get in a missional community and start serving, start committing, grow, and follow Jesus. All right. How to become a zealous and passionate servant of Jesus. To be zealous and passionate, you have to war against sin. Make no provision for flesh to gratify its desires. So cast off darkness and put on the armor of light. Some people don't like when we use war or militant language. And I just want to say, I'm sorry, it's in the Bible, all right? We are at war. We are at a battle with Satan. And he's at a battle for your soul. And so if you want to follow Jesus, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to war and have that kind of attitude, that kind of urgency in how you go after sin. You cannot be passive about sin. Not in quarreling and jealousy. James 3 tells us that jealousy and selfishness, which usually is what leads to quarreling, at least in my life, are demonic. Okay? That's not easy language to think about myself, my sin. When I have jealousy issues, when I have selfish ambition, I want to glorify myself. Scripture is pretty clear, that's demonic. It's wrong. And don't forget, again, that the backdrop of this passage is love. And so it's about loving your fellow brothers. And so if you're quarreling and fighting with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ all the time, you're not living for Jesus. You're not following the right things. To be zealous and passionate and to serve Jesus is ultimately to see Jesus' love expressed through you. That's how we serve. I want to talk a little bit about some orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality. Listen, first off, I'll start with drunkenness because that's a little easier. We'll build up to sexual immorality. Here's the problem. Some of you have heard us say that we're not necessarily against alcohol. A lot of churches make a hard, fast rule, don't drink. If you drink, you're a pagan. We don't say that. We don't say that because the Bible doesn't say that. The problem is the tendency then for you is, you're like, sweet, this church doesn't have a problem with alcohol. Alcohol is cool, so you go out and you get drunk. Scripture is very clear on that. Drunkenness is a sin. If you're drinking and partying and carousing all the time, you're living in sin. Stop and repent. Sex. Premarital sex, that is sex outside of marriage to one person, is sin. You cannot live with someone and continue to have sex with them and be a Christian. You're just not. You're in unrepentant sin. And Scripture is clear on this. Like, if you have been confronted with sin and you continue to live in it with an unrepentant heart, you're not a follower of Jesus. John 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. To love Jesus is to obey him. And so, yeah, we're not perfect. We all have sin. But the mark of a follower of Jesus is that when sin is confronted and sin is realized, we repent and we follow Jesus anew, right? Now, my desire here is not to beat you up, not to be mean and tick you off. There's actually fear and sin in me because I'm afraid that you're going to not like me after this. And so that's wrong. But the Bible says this. And so I'm trying to tell you what the Scripture says. But my goal is to love you. Mike and Lori are a great example of this. They were living lives of drunkenness and immorality. And as they came to Jesus, and as they started inviting their community and their church to speak into their lives, they've repented. And so today, they decided that they wouldn't live together outside of the bond of marriage, but that they would marry and they would covenant forever for the rest of their lives to each other before God. And I'm so proud of them. And so that's what my invitation is this morning, is that if you're living in sin, we love you, we extend God's love to you, and we know that you're ultimately not feeling and experiencing freedom in your life. That you're experiencing brokenness because you're not actually living how God has created us to live. And so we ask you to repent and to follow Jesus. How do you become a zealous and passionate servant of Jesus? You put on Jesus Christ. And what that means here is that you put on the character of Jesus Christ. That you become sanctified. You allow Him to push you and to change you and transform you. Galatians 5, 19 through 24 kind of re-says and sums up this passage that we just read. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, not save, not experience eternity with God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And so my challenge is to put on Jesus Christ. Crucify your flesh and its passions, and start to live zealously, passionately for Jesus Christ, and put on the fruit of the Spirit. Excel in gentleness, self-control, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, joy, peace. That is the character of Christ. Grow into those things while keeping your eyes upward and on Jesus the whole time. Now I want to end now just with a few ways that we are practically trying to do this here at Coram Deo with each other and in community. And so these are the ways that we're trying to put on Jesus Christ as a church. And so these structures in and of themselves aren't the deal, but these are structures that we do in order to help us do these things in community. And so the first is, and you hear us talk about it all the time, I'm not going to apologize for that, missional community. If you're not in one of our missional communities, we really encourage you to do this. This is a place where we come together and live in the light, live in community. We confess our struggles with darkness. We confess our sins. And we see what Scripture and the Gospel has to say about our actual, real lives. And then it becomes a place to serve. As you invest in community, as you experience the Gospel, then you're able to love your fellow brothers, which is the context of Romans 12, 9 through 13. Secondly, Mosaic. If you are not involved in Mosaic community development, I want you to understand that is what we are doing in the city. So if you want to be connected to the mercy and justice ministries of our church, then we want you to consider Mosaic and getting involved there. And so going to this luncheon or the dinner is a great way for you to check out those ministries and find out which one would be a good fit for you, which one would be a good place for you to get involved and serve. Even what we're doing with refugees is more and more starting to come under the umbrella of Mosaic community development. Next week, we're going to be starting off a new missional community for the refugees, and with some more specific working on language, trying to do some translation for them, but then also to help them learn English. And so that'll be on Sundays after church. So if that's something that you're interested in serving and committing to, come up and talk to me after church. I'd love to have you on the team and to help us in that. Thirdly, come to prayer. Remember, the way that you are sustained in living a life of zeal and passion in serving Jesus is through prayer. And so come, pray with us, learn how to pray, encourage us with your prayers. Prayer is not meant to be an individual thing, it's meant to be a communal thing. And so Wednesday nights at our church offices, 87th and Center, at 8 o'clock, we gather as a community to pray. Well, that's what I got. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I pray that the words from Paul in Romans would sink deep into our hearts, that we would be challenged to live lives of zeal and passion for you, Jesus. I pray that you would become the most important thing to us, that as we experience your gospel, that we would have joy and hope, that we would persevere through tribulation. And so I just pray that those things would become real and true in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.